Ask you to pray for Pastor and Bill as they make their way back here. Come this week, like Friday and Saturday, I believe they're traveling back. Like Bill Gamet's coming back Saturday, is it? So a lot of people traveling. Pray for their safety. Pray for good weather too. So if you could make your way back to Luke chapter 17, if you're not there already. So what we read tonight was Jesus is traveling back from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem, and he passes through the Samaritan village where he meets up with 10 lepers. Now, leprosy, this is what I found interesting, leprosy was and still is a contagious disease that affects skin, mucus, nerves, causing, I guess, discoloration, lumps of the skin in severe cases, and then disfigurement and deformities. Each year, this was what was shocking to me, about 180,000 people are diagnosed with this, still yet, and most are in Asia and Africa. It's pretty rare, I guess, from what I understand, in the U.S., less than 100 cases or about that, less than that even. But back during the time of Christ, lepers would have to be separated, obviously, from the other healthier people so that they didn't infect them. Wish Barack Obama would have learned a lesson from that a few years ago when he allowed people back in from Africa when they were sick with other diseases. So these 10 lepers, as they're there, they asked Jesus if they could heal them. Now, obviously, Jesus had this amazing reputation, even outside of Jerusalem in the Sea of Galilee, for others, obviously, to know who he was. So he tells them, go show themselves to the priest. So this was something that they had to do, obviously, when they were cured so that they could, in order to get that clean bill of health so that they can get back integrated into society. So as they're heading off on their way back to wherever the priest was, they were doing that in faith. The Bible tells us that all 10 were healed in verse 14. However, one of them realizes as he's walking along that he's been healed. And he turns back to Jesus and falls down at Jesus' feet. I was going to scream this, but he says, praise God, basically. And he's saying it in a loud voice. If you look at the end of verse 17, I believe it is there. Verse 15, and with a loud voice, glorified God. So you wonder why the other 9 didn't return. Perhaps it's because they were Samaritans, potentially, and they didn't feel obligated to thank a Jewish person. Perhaps they thought it might be too late, or they had a turkey in the oven, and they needed to get back home and take care of that. However, the fact is that there were 9 others that didn't give thanks. And Jesus pointed that out in verse 17. The thing is, that's not any different than today. In fact, today's probably much worse. Less and less people are saying thank you for anything anymore. Less and less people are grateful. You can go to Walmart and test that, right? Imagine if there were no automatic door openers there and people had to leave the door open for people to come in behind them. I would say that it's probably rare to see that. People aren't thankful because they're either too busy, in a hurry, their heart attitude just isn't right. Worse yet, some of them feel entitled to these types of things. They feel entitled for others doing a lot of things for them. It's not what the Bible tells us to do. We're to be servants, right? So if you go over to 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read the first two verses there. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2 say, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You can keep going on and on. There's a huge list there. Unthankful. So, you know, we keep saying that, are we in the last days? Looking at those verses and what you experience out there, certainly, you could certainly make a case for that. Folks like this, they always have a need. They don't have time for you unless they need something, and the world revolves around them, and the only time they seem to remember you is when you didn't help that one time, and they'll remind you of that. So casting all that aside, people should be thankful, right? Thankfulness should not be taken for granted. It should be continuous. It should be in all areas of life. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I think Brother Party mentioned this on Sunday. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say in some things, most things, in everything. So we are to give thanks in all things. There are many benefits of being thankful. It improves your health, reduces stress, reduces bitterness, reduces materialism, on and on and on you can go. Being thankful helps us also to increase our faith. It brings joy. If you look at the book of Psalms, it talks 31 times. It either uses the word thanks or thanksgiving. Let's go to Psalm 92, verse 1. Psalm 92, verse 1. Psalm 92, verse 1, and it confirms what we've been saying here. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And if you look at Psalm 105, verse 1, you don't have to go there, but, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. I like the end of there. Make known his deeds among the people. Don't be quiet about what he's done in our lives, but make known. So, in summary of this intro here, in a few days, you're going to have the opportunity to celebrate Thanksgiving, right? And we have much to be thankful for. Being thankful should be part of a routine, not reserved for special occasions such as Thanksgiving. But how often do we take for granted the blessings that God has given us? I've asked kids in junior church over the past week if they're looking forward to Thanksgiving, and got all of them chiming in and say, yes, no school. And then I would say, there's adults that say, yes, no work, and I'd be one of them. So for the rest of my devotion tonight, I want to highlight some areas that we should be thankful in and add some prayer requests around those particular areas. I've got five of them. So the first one, I think everybody would hit this if they were up here, basically be thankful for salvation and for its benefits. Obviously, being saved has the benefit of life in heaven, or eternal life in heaven, with God and in Christ, but it's much more than that, right? We can have peace with God. We are sons of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. It goes on and on and on, that list. But being saved enables this relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. But living in the world today, especially in this country, and in, if you're a young person, such as myself, maybe not myself, but there's a force that wants you to pull, that wants to pull you away from a close walk with God, right? If you look at, well, don't go there now, but 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And Matthew 6:24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So that first area, be thankful for salvation and its benefits. My prayer request is that we draw close to God so that we make use of this relationship that's been made available to him to the fullest extent. If you look at the beginning of James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. We know that there's an effort associated with that, right? Half-heartedness in this just is not going to enable that closer walk. Kind of acting as you're checking a box. Well, did I read my Bible today? Yep, check. Did I say a few prayers? Yep, check. Am I obedient? Yeah, there was that one time. Check. Those things shouldn't be taken for granted. We should do, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, put your heart in things. So number one was to be thankful for salvation and its benefits. Number two, be thankful for the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, then the Holy Spirit is there to lead, to guide, and to teach. Praise God that we don't have to do it on our own, but I'm going to do a double negative here. We can't not do it on our own, right? We just want to do it on our own sometimes. Let's go to John 14. I'm going to read verse 26. John 14. John 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So there's this memory part too. It's another reason to memorize Scripture. The Holy Spirit can use it when you're in a time of trouble to help recall that to memory so that you can flee from that trouble. Galatians 3:14, it says, "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And in Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So my prayer request around, actually prayer, plural prayers requested around the Holy Spirit is that, number one, we would obey 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which is quench not the Spirit, and number two, that we would obey Ephesians 4:30, where it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So, number two, be thankful for the Holy Spirit. Number three, be thankful for fellow believers. So Paul, if you look at many of his letters to, whether it be the Colossians, Ephesians, so on and so forth, many of his letters in the first chapter, Paul was thankful for the believers, right, and associated with that particular church or other areas. Usually occurring, in the first chapter. So if you looked at Romans 1, it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Philippians 1:3, it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And then Colossians 1:3, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always with you." In 1 John chapter 3, while we turn there, we are exhorted to love the brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24 deal with this. I'll hit upon four verses here. 1 John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another." Okay? There's brethren, we're supposed to love the brethren, right? Verses 14 and 15, it says, "How know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." And then verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, either in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So that means I just can't say love you, and that's good enough? No, it means I actually have to show by doing something. Just can't, tell this to a bunch of people I deal with. Words are meaningless if there's never any action behind it. I see that at work a lot. There's people wanting to just say words for the sake of saying words so that they can make the trouble pass away. Put your words to actions. So several prayers they have around being thankful for fellow believers is for us believers, number one, to be obedient. Mark 12:30 and John 14:15 give those two commandments and how to be obedient. It says in Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And this is the most important commandment, right? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So let's be obedient. Number two, for believers to have more of a love for the brethren and strive for a spirit of unity. So first thing on my list to be thankful for is for salvation. Second, Holy Spirit. Third, fellow believers. Fourth, for our church and for the church. We should be thankful that we have this opportunity to come here several times a week to hear the Word of God preached and taught. That we live in a free country where that affords us the opportunity to do so. We don't face persecutions or persecution such as the North Koreans or Chinese possibly and a lot of other nations out there. However, sometimes I wonder if a little bit of persecution would kind of be what's needed sometime to dispel some of the apathy that exists in our Christian culture in America. We should be thankful that we have a place to assemble. Let's go to Hebrews 10:25. We should never take for granted the fact that we have a church to assemble. I think one of the traps that I fall into sometimes, and it's even outside of these walls, where life goes on sometimes and things kind of happen in a routine. And if you allow that to happen, your life will pass by, as James says, just like a vapor. Don't allow things to get routine. Be thankful that you have a place to come to and hear the Word of God preached. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We should be thankful that we have this opportunity to build up the body of Christ through our service as well. You hear pastors say, and many others say, it's one area that helps to get rid of selfishness is to go serve. There's many areas to serve. So the prayers that I have associated with our church is that we'd be thankful that we have a place that we can come and worship freely. We pray for our church leaders that God would give them wisdom and a vision to put a hedge of protection around them and their families. And then that the body of Christ would be healthy and use their talents that God has entrusted to them to serve, honor, and glorify him. And lastly, let's be thankful for God's provision. Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things, not just some things or most things, but all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, God provides for all of our needs and even some of our wants, right? I gave the challenge to our junior or the kids in junior church and actually the teens, I think, last week, right? Make a list where your needs haven't been met and compare that to the list of your wants that have been provided for. Let me say that again. Make a list of your needs that haven't been met, and compare that to the list of your wants that have been provided for. I think you'll see a pretty compelling reason for you to be thankful. So the list that I'm thinking about isn't just materialistic, right? It goes beyond that. It goes to our family. It goes to our health, listening to God's word. One of the things that, let me ask you this. Do you ever thank God at night that you're laying in a warm bed and you hear outside it's about 40-mile-an-hour winds, 30-mile-an-hour winds, and it's probably about 10 degrees out there? You thank God for those nights. The other thing I enjoy is God's creation. Have you ever gone out on a crisp, clear night, looked up and seen the stars? It's just amazing to see the vastness of what God has created. God is in control of that vastness of many galaxies, but he's also in control all the way down to the atom and below what the atom has in it, which our eye can't see. Just amazing to think of what the span of God's control and his creation. So be thankful for what he has created. Think about what we have, and think about what you'll be enjoying in a few days. We who live in America have much to be thankful for, right? I remember someone saying one time, Americans are one out of every 24 people that are living in this world. Sometimes you wonder, wow, I'm living in America, I'm one out of every 24 people in this world. I'm pretty fortunate to have that blessing. Although America, as we see day by day, is like a tree that's starting to crack, it seems like. If you watch news or if you go to the news websites, what are you seeing lately, day after day after day? Politicians, movie stars, or people associated with Hollywood, teachers involved in sex scandals. Day after day, it's repeated over and over again. I think the politicians, I'm starting to wonder if it's the swamp being drained, but aside from that. So my prayers for being thankful for God's provision is pray for our country. Like I said, day after day we're inundated with all these sex scandals amongst all these people. Imagine what our kids think sometimes. Pray also that we're satisfied with simply our needs being met. Just our needs. Pray that we're satisfied there. So again, the 5 points tonight were basically be thankful for salvation, for the Holy Spirit, fellow believers, the church, and God's provision. By no means this is an exhaustive list. I just wanted to tie together some requests associated with it. I'm going to end tonight with a story that I picked up from junior church. I think this is a pretty interesting story. In 1860, Ed Spencer was a young man. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this story. Was a young man training for the ministry. He went to Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. The university was on the southern banks of Lake Michigan. It was a beautiful sight to look out over the huge lake and watch ships as they passed by. One evening, as Ed was in the university library studying, he could hear a fierce storm outside, and he thought he was fortunate to be inside safe and warm. Just like, sounds like familiar. Just then, a friend rushed into the library. His hair was a mess, and he was almost too winded to speak. Instantly, Ed knew something was wrong. He waited for the young man to catch his breath. Finally, the news came out. Ed, a ship, the Lady Elgin, has rammed into the coast. The ship is going down, and there are people who will drown if we don't go help them. And his friend rushed out of the library into the shore. There was the mighty ship, damaged and sinking fast. Even with the wind and the great distance, Ed could see people and faintly hear their desperate cries. The storm was calming a bit, but there was no hope for people if someone did not act quickly. There's no time to think. Ed threw aside his jacket and plunged into the lake. He swam out to the ship and seized the first person he could find floating in the water. Then he pulled them to shore. Again, he swam out, and grabbed another person and pulled them to safety. Again and again, Ed made the trip, each time pulling a helpless person to shore. After several trips, the people on shore pleaded with Ed to give up. They told him that he had saved several people and would surely harm his own health if he did not stop soon. But Ed wouldn't stop. With only time to catch his breath and hand over the last person he pulled in, Ed headed out again. Ed pulled 17 people to safety before he collapsed on the shore. He couldn't swim another stroke. As he crawled onto shore, he went unconscious. That night, 287 people lost their lives, but 98 were rescued. Ed rescued 17 of those who were saved. For days, Ed lay in a hospital. In his delirium, he muttered over and over, "Have I done my best?" He worried about those poor people even when he was unconscious. Finally, Ed was released from the hospital, but he was never the same. The incident had robbed him of his health. Never again would he study at the university. Never again would life be normal. His body was weak and broken. He never regained full health. For the rest of his life, he was a semi-invalid. Years afterward, a gentleman was traveling past the area where Ed Spencer lived. He had heard of the man who had given his health to rescue many others. The man made the effort to stop and visit Ed. He found Ed in a small cottage. It was poor and humble, and the man was more surprised when Ed answered the door. Ed was a weak, aged man, old beyond his years. Ed was barely able to care for himself. As the two men spoke, the visitor mentioned the ship and the rescue to Ed. Ed, I know you have lost your health and your means of making a living, but it must make you feel good to know that you saved so many lives. The people you saved must be so grateful to you. They must come to help you sometimes. Tears began to run down Ed's face. He looked at the man for a moment before he replied, I am thankful that I was able to rescue those people. But do you know, not one of those that I pulled to shore ever came to say thank you. That reminds me of the story in the Bible when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. They're all excited, and they rushed off. They only took time to go back and thank Jesus only one took time to go back and tell Jesus for healing him. As I think about that story, how often have we told our parents thank you? How often have we told or neglected to tell someone thank you for doing something for us? Like I said before, we get into this habit sometimes where things become the routine and life becomes mundane. We should never fall into that trap. We should try to seize each moment for what we have. God has blessed us. God has given us those warnings too, right? Count each day and realize that life is but a vapor. We ought to be grateful for what he's given to us, whether it's salvation, our fellow believers, the church, the Holy Spirit. He's given us much. We should be thankful, and we should be thanking him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you have given us. If we had the time, we could go on and on and on about how much you've given us. Lord, I do pray that we would be grateful this Thanksgiving, grateful that you've provided salvation. For those that are saved, you've provided the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't quench the Holy Spirit. Lord, you've provided our brethren here. Lord, may we love them as you commanded us to. You've also provided the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would not quench the Holy Spirit. And you've provided many things for us. Lord, help us to be satisfied with our needs. Lord, I pray that you bless the prayer time to follow. And Lord, I pray that you bless this time together now, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Got a couple of missionary letters.